Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. With rising interest rates, there's a lot of unpredictability, a lot of anxiety out there. Our friends at Quicken Loans are doing something about that. The power buying process. They'll verify your income, assets, and credit in under 24 hours and give you a verified approval. Then you have the strength of cash buyer, which is important when you're out there in the real world. Once verified, you qualify for the all-new exclusive Rate Shield approval. They'll lock in your rate up to 90 days while you shop. If rates go up, your rate stays the same. But if rates go down, your rate drops. You can't lose, man. Either way, you're going to win. Get started today. Go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam. Dawson.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030.
Hey, everybody. Superfan Giovanni here. Welcome to the Best of the Adam Carolla Show. The gang and the lackeys are taking a week off. We'll be back on Tuesday, August 28th with a new episode. Until then, you got me and brand new good sports every day. Today I've selected the Adam Carolla Show, episode 1508, featuring Rainn Wilson, Joe Coy, David Koechner, Gina Grad, and Brian Bishop. Original air date on this one was February 10th, 2015. Adam opens the show with a new mashup. Then he shares the 1994 K-Rock Weenie Roast band lineup before they bring Joe Coy in the studio. Joe Coy is returning to the show and joins the gang in the studio to discuss his experience at the Super Bowl, proper ball handling technique, and they explain puppetry of the penis to a clueless Joy. This is a very fun episode that showcases the current format of the show with Gina Grad and Brian Bishop. Let's all listen and find out what happened.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Rainn Wilson, with Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a visit with Joe Coy. And now, his eyes have the mist of the smoke from a distant fire. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate. Get it on. And thank you for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for bookmarking us at Amazon and keeping us going strong. Coming into our sixth year. Sixth goddamn year. Joe Coy's coming in. Rainn Wilson is coming in. Gina Grad in. Ball Brian.
I'm in construction.
I was surprised at how popular that was on Twitter. The hashtag top drop. I think people like his enthusiasm.
So I'm having a kind of watershed moment here. Ooh. I was watching TV the other night. I, like you, tape everything and fast forward through all the commercials. But even as I fast forward them, I watch them and I look for things that pop out to me and then go back and examine them. Mm-hmm. I was watching a Nexium commercials for, I don't know, antacid or heartburn or some pill you take or whatever. I think I spotted, there's some controversy here, but I think I spotted my first black dwarf not being used in a dwarf-esque role. Not any of Santa's helpers.
Not leprechauns.
Not standing on anyone's shoulders. You're wearing a giant trench coat.
This would be a moment.
This is literally just a black guy that could be a dwarf as just a dude in the commercial. Okay. You know, when they're hanging around the white couple.
Yeah.
You know, they have to hang around the black couple.
Hand in the keys.
Yeah.
Oh, no. No,
not like park in the car.
Okay, sorry. They're at a party or something.
They're just eating. He's eating outdoors.
Okay.
Yeah. You guys tell me.
Oh.
Now you have to look at it, and you can go to adamcarolla.com and try to solve this. The guy's standing there. He's eating with three middle-aged chicks. I don't know. And one black dwarf as far as it's like he is, picture pint-sized common. Now, I conducted a little experiment. I took the shortest guy here, Chris Maxipata.
By a long shot.
And I told him, sit at your desk and let me see the distance between your armpits to the top of the desk or the top of the table. I mean, he was, pardon the pun, head and shoulders above this guy. This guy's a lot of torso. There's not much leg going on here.
He's diminutive at the very least.
He's, all right, if I was his lawyer and I was making an argument for his height, I wouldn't go past 5'4". That would be a stretch, right?
Okay.
Now, here's my point. There's been a little controversy around here. Did we find the first black small person that was in just a regular commercial with no context? He's not eating cotton candy or being chased by a guy with a butterfly net.
Sure, sure.
He's
not helping Santa.
He's just a short guy.
I don't think that's a dwarf, but that is a small man.
Here's my argument. Mm-hmm. If you're casting, and the casting is...
I'm with you.
You're rubbing your chin.
That's the audio version of scratching my chin.
Okay.
That's how I think audibly.
You are told as the casting agent, diversity. We need diversity. I know it's one white guy in his 40s. He's with three white chicks in their 40s. We just need a black guy sitting there. Those are the rules.
Check two boxes with a black dwarf.
Yeah, we don't need an Asian. Mm-hmm. We don't even need a Hispanic. But we do need a black guy standing there. It'll be a little distracting, but that's the way it works. Why would they get, if you're just casting black folk to be potentially this guy's buddy, why are you going with the guy who's 5 foot tall?
Well,
that's a weird call, right? I mean, you just go, no, give me a 45-year-old black guy, looks non-threatening.
But I think Brian makes a point, you know, why not check two boxes?
That's what I'm saying. Double diversity at half the size.
You're really getting a lot for your money. A lot of bang for your half a buck.
Okay, did I find the first man of color dwarf in a commercial that had nothing to do with his color or his size?
I defy our listeners to leave me off the tweets you send to Adam showing dwarfs in commercials. Please don't include Bob Bryan.
All right. So you just got included.
Shit.
All right.
But yeah, I cannot ever think of it. Every time a dwarf is in a commercial, to my knowledge, it's always as an elf or as Santa's helper or as, you know, it's
representing calling attention the Lollipop Guild.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's calling attention to it. It's Yao Ming and it's Vern Troyer, you know.
Right.
It's calling attention to the height. This is just a small man in the foreground.
Okay.
Which emphasizes his smallness because he's closer to the camera. He should be bigger.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. You can see his whole back and, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me that's not a knee that close to his hip.
It could be a wallet, could be a pistol. He is a man of color. The point is this. The torso looks longer than the legs.
Yeah, yeah.
We may have
the shirt's untucked. That does not help. Does not help his case.
Whew. All right. We'll...
I like to imagine legs swinging off camera. Swinging in the air.
Either way, it was quite a breakthrough I had over the weekend when I discovered this.
What a moment it was.
Oh, man. A lot of fist pumps. A lot of high-fiving around the Corolla house.
Yeah.
All right.
Imagine the end of Apollo 13.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that.
A lot of that. Yeah.
Grown men crying.
All right. So, we'll ask our friend Brad if what he thinks when we see him at some point.
Is that like asking Joe Coy every Asian question we have? Or asking
I have some preloaded
question?
For Joe when he comes
in. Okay.
All right. So, watching the Grammys on Sunday night, a couple of thoughts. But first, speaking of music, we had, Joan Osborne song that we're trying to kind of mix up with Elliot.
Right.
Because
Elliot was being shy.
Elliot was being shy, but I just love when you do these mix ups, and I think we've set our levels now.
Well, the thing is, Isaac is all in. He's like a yes and guy. He's very much yes and. He studied improv, clearly. Mm-hmm. Elliot, I mean, I feel like he's going to have more trouble with this.
Who gives a shit?
Oh, see.
If you were faced with him in all his glory,
I don't care.
What would you ask if you had just one question?
No, I don't think it is.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah,
no.
God is I knew this would make me laugh.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah,
no.
God is good.
No, I don't think it is.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
No. 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 No.
What if God was one of us?
And we just did.
Just a slob like one of us.
I think you'll love it.
Just a stranger on the bus trying to make his way home.
You know something that I don't know?
Well, Elliot, he tried.
He just shuts everything down, yeah. Every question.
Very negative.
Poor guy.
Always makes me laugh. All right. Speaking of the Grammys, it's funny. It's nice to see guys. I went and asked Max Apata, go on your computing device there. Give me the lineup from the 1994 K-Rock Weenie Roast. Remember the big August concert? In Irvine Meadows.
The local K-Rock out here does the big summer concert. Many, 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 many very famous international acts play.
1994. I remember.
Were you there? I assume you were there.
That was my first year.
Okay.
I started in probably April of 94. This thing was in June or July. June. I think like, you know, it was June, I think. And I'd only been there about 4 or 5 mm-hmm. months. So this is, by the way, big deal for
and
me.
And it's been going on for years, right, at this point? For a few years?
Well,
least?
You know, the thing that's funny about it is when you get there, now it's been going on for 30 years, but when you get there and you're number 4, it feels like it's been going on forever. And then you blink your eyes and you realize you've been to 10 and they've only had 13.
Yeah.
But it always feels like it got there. Like,
it's an institution somehow.
Jimmy got to K-Rock like 3.5 months before I got there, and he was a wily veteran. and still is in my mind. Had been there for time immemorial before I got there.
Yeah, you're a short timer, but Jimmy's in for life.
It just felt like he was there the whole time, but in reality, he'd just gotten there. It's that kind of thing, I guess, how a third grader looks at a fifth grader as an old person.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway, 1994, you'll remember some of these and some you won't, but what reminded me was Beck winning a lot of awards last night.
Fucking Beck.
Or Sunday night. First up, Candlebox.
Starting off strong. Is this the order in which they played, by the way?
Yes.
Okay.
Frente.
Front Day?
Frente.
Frente.
I kind of remember Frente.
I don't think I know Frente. Might have been
there may have been a hottish chick involved with that band. Mm. Pavement.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We're getting somewhere.
Their thing.
The Afghan Whigs.
Yeah.
Wow.
When I took a tour of
Fred
the White
Dooley.
I took a tour of the White House, I took it with the Afghan Whigs.
That is the strangest sentence.
I was going to say, how did that come? Was that the WHFS festival?
Yeah, I was in D.C. To host this big thing at RFK or to do stage announcements or bring bands on. And then when it came time to do a White House, it was the Afghan Whigs.
Wow.
Okay. Then Beck. Beck was a spindly little guy playing a Casio.
Yeah, this was new Beck.
And not a headliner, yeah.
Not even close. We haven't got to the halfway point. We're at Beck already. It was so funny because...
Now I'm dying to see you who, like, closed the show.
Yeah.
You know, okay. Then James.
Okay. They had one hit that was great.
What was their one hit?
I'll play it for
okay.
It's a fucking great song.
Then The Offspring, who were the young Offspring
huge.
Back then, who we love. And then...
James.
Oh, yeah.
This song fucking rules. Dawson, that thumbs up.
Oh, this is James?
Yeah. They're one hit one, and this is the one hit.
Great song.
It is.
This bed is on fire with passion.
Yep, there it is.
The neighbors complain about the
for one hit, this is some mailbox money for these guys, because you all, this song is fucking everywhere.
A lot of movie trailers.
It's a lot of movies.
Solid.
No, I forgot
James.
This song.
Great song.
Tell Matt to write this down. I gotta get it in my Walkman.
And it's great. It's short, too. It's like 2:37. It's a great song.
A little different than The Outlaws.
All right. Bring it down a couple notches. So after James, we go Offspring, The Offspring. We love those guys. Then the Rollins Band. It was just a lot of Henry pissed off on stage.
Screaming.
Shirtless.
Then Green Day, because Green Day blew up in like 6 months. They came out with Dookie, and then it just went nuts.
Makes sense.
Counting Crows, makes sense.
Awesome.
Pretenders, love them. Yeah. Oingo Boingo and Violent Femmes. Now, the thing that...
Violent Femmes closed the show?
Well, let's not forget, the penultimate, I think, is what you wanted. The second.
Yes. Because people do the Offspring fans may tend to peter out if
you
want to
go second to last in this lineup because people start to file out because there's a long parking jam, bunch of cars, 18,000 people. But it was funny because Max Zapata, young Max Zapata, was looking at this and he's like, Beck was nine bands before Oingo Boingo. I was like, 1994, dude.
Yeah. No, Beck was Beck who?
But even in 94, Oingo Boingo was the sweet spot?
Well, that's a K-Rock legacy band. They were like huge K-Rock band in the 80s. I mean, they have like history with them. But
yeah.
I do agree with you. Oingo Boingo close second to last.
Dead Man's Party?
But I hate that song. Either way, there was Beck just sort of alone with his Casio. And I remember feeling bad for the guy. Like, the crowd wasn't that into it. Whoever came on before, the Afghan Whigs or something, must have rocked the place. Uh-huh. And then Beck
Pavement
came,
really, really tore up the pavement.
Yeah. And then Beck came out with his Casio. And it was like, you know, guy who was 23, looked like he was 14, like standing there. And the audience kind of doing the thumbs down. And it, by the way, the thing starts at noon. It was like 3 in the afternoon, probably hotter and shit. And it was just like, everyone went to go get a beer kind of thing.
Yeah. Do you remember when Beck came out? I have the worst luck of this. I pegged him as a one-hit wonder instantly. I'm like, he had that song Loser.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, you know, it was
an
gimmicky.
Anthem, though.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, this fucking guy will be gone in no time.
Well, he sure
is. Here he is 20 years later winning Grammys.
Joe Coy.
Hello.
In studio.
Hello, Gina.
Let me tell you a little about J.B. Weld. America's favorite epoxy adhesive. Pros and DIYers have trusted J.B. Weld for 50 years now. If you've got a big or small project in your home, garage, workshop, or craft room, you need a strong, dependable, and permanent adhesive strength. You need JB Weld. These guys, I've been using these guys for a million years, but always in the shop, the auto shop, never around the house. Well, now it's around the house. They got a wide variety of epoxy and super glue, silicone products for repairing plastics, wood, metal, and more. Made in the U.S. of A., everyone. We've tried their products, and we recommend J.B. Weld. Use them at the other shop. Use them at home. You find them with other adhesives at Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone, O'Reilly, Advanced Auto Parts, Walmart, Amazon. J.B. Weld, world's strongest bond. Good to see you, Joe Coy.
Hello, sir.
Joe is going to be at the Tempe Improv and the Tacoma Comedy Club and the Palm Beach Improv in Florida, and more dates available. This is February, the middle of February, all the way through the end of February.
Sir, can I plug Treasure Island, too?
Yeah.
That's in March, March 20th.
March 20th, Treasure Island. We are going to be at the Irvine Improv this Thursday, February 12th, 8 o'clock, with Fitz Dog, Greg Fitzsimmons. So you can see us. You can see Joe. And go to the website, joekoy.com, for any information you'd like. Joe?
Yes, sir.
Bad news for you.
What happened?
We've been doing these mashups with Joan Osborne. And then I got to thinking, you know, Bung Lu singing If God Was One of Us Would Be. But now you can think about it. You can think about it.
You know, this follows me everywhere.
Bung Lu, Sue.
People just hold their phones and ask you to sing along with things?
All the time. Making song requests at my shows.
Well, maybe they'll do Joan Osborne now.
I go, Adam's not here. And I don't do this during my shows. And then this is what they say, Adam. They go, oh, come on, Joy.
Oh, Joy.
So it's a double whammy.
Yeah.
Day they stop requesting songs,
that's the day
I cry.
So
you know it's
start
over.
To worry.
All right, I'm going to take one phone call and then you queue up Joan Osborne. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. 25, San Jose.
Good, good. I was going to ask, you know, I know you don't consider yourself a stand-up comedian per se, but you do have material, and I was wondering if when are we going to see a special from you?
I'm going to do one sooner than later. I just, I don't know why.
That's actually a great question.
I
don't understand why you don't have one either.
I mean, I'm writing books, I'm doing TV shows, I'm trying to finish two movies.
Those suck.
It's just a bunch of fucking shit. And I had this thought, I had a crazy thought. I don't think anyone would go along with me on it. But I had a thought about doing what I believe would be the first all-improvised stand-up one-hour special. Now, what I would do
you
is...
You fucking hate to prepare, don't you?
I do. No, I have enough material to do 90 minutes, probably. But what I would want to do, or might what might be interesting, is go do two shows, have them all be completely improvised, just two 90-minute shows, and then just whack together the best 60 minutes you could out of the 3 hours that you had. Mm-hmm. It might...
I had the
work,
same
it might
idea.
Not work, but it would be funny. It might be the first
Joe, how'd your
all
idea
improvised
go?
One.
No, I was thinking the same thing because I do a lot of improvising throughout the year. And I was like, why don't I capture all of those and just put something out of just those moments?
But right.
Not what you're talking about. That would be even better, I think. Two shows and just take whatever you improvise from those two shows.
It would either work or it wouldn't, is the way I'm looking at it.
You would have to prepare a little bit, right? I mean, do you really just not prepare at all before your
show? No, you should see how he's dressed.
He just throws things on. Mismatching sweat outfits. Yep.
See, Matt, you've got him thinking about shows in the future. That counts as prep.
Yeah. No, I would do, what I would do is I would go with a sort of whole hog, either go do 90 minutes of prepared material, or try to pull off a completely improvised. I mean, you'd have to make up some games. You know, you'd have to do What Can Adam Complain About? You'd have to do whatever stuff we do.
The listener questions are kind of the best example of that.
Yeah, Q&As, Mr. Brightside, or something like that. You'd make like five categories, and you'd have people shout shit out, and you'd have to go for it. Matt?
Yeah.
I expect to see you in the audience.
I think that's a good idea because that's really what differentiates you from other comedians. You know, you're a master improviser. I think you could do it.
Thanks for the inspiration, Matt. What do you do?
I manage a photo booth company.
A photo booth? Oh, those things are having a renaissance,
yeah,
right?
Like they come to weddings and stuff?
Yeah, we do events all over California, and I just kind of manage that company. It's a kind of a small company, but we do our thing.
You drop them off and set them up?
I mostly stay in the office. We have a crew of guys that goes and stays at the events and does that.
Mm-hmm.
But
Do you ever run into the guy who does the inflatable bouncy castles? And then it's kind of a square off.
You give them a knowing nod.
You go, well, listen, we're dealing with technology. Yeah. You're dealing with air.
Yeah.
You understand? Yeah. All right.
Good luck working with that.
We delight adults and celebrities. You work with kids and special needs adults.
Yeah. Shoes off.
Shoes off. Yeah. 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 We had one backstage at the Emmys this year. I don't know. Do you guys have a bouncy castle back there?
So you're taking what's literally all around us, and you're just putting it in one place.
Yeah.
So it's pretty impressive.
Yeah. So you work with this stuff? The stuff we're living in?
Stuff I'm exhaling? Hey,
you gather it up.
Hey, got some supply for you.
You guys ever, who's the cock of the walk and the drop shit off at your party, like when they have their big symposiums?
The photo booth.
No.
It's the
pony ride guy.
Hold on. When the guy who does the bouncy castles runs into the Andy Gump guy, the porta potty guy, coach with the shit stuck in
it. We know what the pecking order is.
Right, right. Yeah. So we found the bottom of the food chain. I mean, that guy literally hooks a hose up to the back of the porta potty and hits reverse on the pump and sucks it into his tank.
He's got blue hands.
Right.
Yeah. Top of the chain's got to be cotton candy guy. Because all he works with is sugar.
Yeah.
Kids love him.
Kids
adults love him.
Adults love him.
And he buys one piece of equipment and he's set for life.
Nah, I don't know.
His only renewable resource is sugar.
I don't know.
Spin that shit.
What about balloon guy?
I don't feel. I'm trying to think.
Buy balloons, bro.
Yeah, that's true. But that fucking pump is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That balloon pump.
That balloon pump is a shit.
Yeah, which is.
Yeah, just. And then next thing you know, it's lips.
Wouldn't it be cool if your cock worked that way?
Oh, my God. Just an air pump? Just,
boom.
Yeah.
Larry 3 foot.
Am I hard?
That's how Larry Flint does it.
Hello.
It's true.
Yeah.
Larry Flint has a pump in his ball sack.
No.
He does?
Yeah.
Like a Reebok pump?
Like on the top,
More like Nikes, but yeah.
Thanks, Matt. But yeah.
Thanks, Matt.
Well, if you think about it, why not use your sack for something? I mean, it's the ultimate. Useless. It's the ultimate fanny sack. I mean,
Gina, listen, girls pay an inordinate amount of attention to the sack. At least make it good for something. You know, pump something up.
Isn't that where the sperm is stored, or did I miss a health class?
You're paying too much attention to the
sack.
Sorry. I will say this, though. I don't like a girl, and this is going to get gross, Adam, I'm sorry, but it doesn't turn me on when you kiss the sack or play with the sack. Leave the balls alone. All the sensitive areas are right there on the dick. But for some reason, I'm going to play with your balls. It's like, why? I don't even play with my balls.
Is this unanimous?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a thing.
It's
I had one girl that just had to put it in her mouth. The balls.
Really?
And I would tell her every time, stop.
Grandma.
Stop sucking my balls.
Grandma.
Yeah. No.
But I like your balls.
But let me say.
Little tiny Asian balls.
Let me say this, Joe Coy.
I could put both in my mouth.
You got to take that as it's the spirit.
Yeah.
The spirit of the sack. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's her saying, I want to please.
Yeah.
That's not her going, I enjoy sweaty, salty, hairy shit in my mouth.
Yeah.
That's her going, I want to please you, Joe Coy. All right. I want a big tip.
Yeah.
That's what she's saying. Because no woman enjoys that. She just thinks you enjoy it.
Yeah. Bingo.
But I agree. It's really kind of the earlobe of the groin, which is it's a bunch of there's not a real gathering of nerve endings there. I think you could put a cigarette out on my sack and I'd be okay.
Well, the puppetry of the penis involves stretching that sack to a great degree, so you can imagine what doesn't go on sensitive-wise.
Oh, are you not familiar?
No, I'm not familiar at all.
Where were you like 7 years ago?
You don't know puppetry of the of the penis?
Gary,
big deal.
Do a search for puppetry of the penis.
It was sold out. Out show in New York.
What the fuck?
How is this the first
you're
getting
me right now?
People are going with their kids, their parents.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. We saw it at Spillikin Corners and Knott's Berry Farm. Yeah. I mean, probably wasn't the right venue.
Credit to them for trying something new.
They'd still use the height thing. You know, so anyone under 42 inches was not permitted.
Under this sack.
They hung us. You had to walk through the legs of Paul Bunyan. And if your head dragged on his sack.
Too tall.
Yeah. There's puppetry of the penis. It's definitely one of those fucking New York things, though.
Yeah, it's made for real sex on HBO.
I'll tell you what. I'll put it to you this way. Whoever built that theater in 1892 in Manhattan would never stop vomiting. Because he's like, here shall be a house of art and integrity for all of time.
We'll pay homage to Shakespeare.
All the great literary plays will pass through these doors, and they have some bisexual guy pulling a sack over his forehead.
Yeah. Making a hamburger out of your dick and balls.
Couple of things. My buddy would do a move. Ray would do a move called the turtle all day long. At every party, he would simply take the sack, pull it up over the top, like some guys will take their upper lip and pull it over their nose, and just walk through the party naked.
My friend,
the turtle,
he was ahead of his time.
My friend did the best joke with his balls, and I to this day I still talk about it. He pulled his balls above his belt buckle. And then he would tell everyone, he goes, man, I got a belly piercing, and it got infected. And everyone goes, and he'd pull his shirt off. It's a crowd pleaser. I was crying when I saw it the first time.
It's closer.
Because, shit, man, it hurts.
All right, so.
Some people go, oh, my God, that looked horrible.
All right, Joan Osborne.
Oh, come on.
I just thought of Bung Lu.
There's so many other people I can do for you.
I know,
and
but
always it goes to this guy.
But if Bung Lu would just sing along a little bit, it's really just an excuse for me to hear this
song.
But
there's songs
I
don't
song.
Know. You give me songs every fucking home. Oh, that sounds nice.
I mean, yeah, you know this song.
Everybody know this song. If you can bring it up in my headphone, please.
Yeah, I'll turn it on.
Okay, yeah. Bring down the treble.
The what?
Bring down the treble.
No trouble here.
Little bass, little down treble. It's a beautiful song.
I like it too.
Mm-hmm.
How can I make it better?
This whole you know, it's, let the feeling flow. Yeah. Yeah.
If God had a name,
it would be Bungalow.
Oh, no, don't make it about yourself, Bungalow. Oh, sorry, go ahead. No, it's your thing. I'm sorry.
Can we take from the top one more time? Sorry.
It's a long lead in.
Mr. Corolla, let's just get right to it.
You're going to call God Bungalow soon?
Sorry about that. Yes. Oh, yeah. Please bring the treble down. If you're too high, the treble, bring the bass up. This for you, Mr. Corolla.
Corolla, but I'm listening.
Whatever.
If God had a name,
it would be Bungalow.
What would it be and would you call it to his face?
I shoot it
if
on
you.
You.
Face with him
oh, no.
All his glory.
And all of
what
your parents
give you
is Bungalow
soon.
That is my name. Oh, yeah, take it, girl.
I don't think that's happening.
Oh, right there. You like that?
God is good.
Oh, I am a good. Oh, one more time. There you go. Face.
What if God was one of us?
His name would be Bungalow.
Just a slob like one of us.
All over your face, covered in goo. Home is your butt.
If God had a face,
it would look like
would
me.
Look like and would you want to see?
Oh, you won't see when I cover
it's
your eye.
That you would have to believe.
Oh, believe. You're going to feel everything.
Like heaven,
oh, it feels like heaven.
Saints,
get ready to say it, girl. Here it
comes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah,
one more time.
God is
well,
good,
thank you. I try.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah,
right in the eye.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, there's so much fun. Bungalow soon. Oh, slappy. So slappy. Covered in goo. Oh, God must go to sleep. I'm tired.
All right.
You know where the home is.
Oh, it's the butt, right?
The butt. The butt is always the home.
Bungalow.
Oh,
never,
you,
never, never
that
disappoints.
That was for us.
Mm-hmm.
Aggressively sexual.
Do you watch the Grammys, Bungalow?
All the time. All the time.
No, just once a year.
Oh, yeah.
Do you watch the other night?
I watched the other night. Unbelievable.
Yeah, like the Grammys?
Every time.
Once a year?
Every time once a year.
Yeah, you love it?
Yeah. Every time I watch once a year.
Mm-hmm.
Like every time.
Do you like Beyonce?
Oh, wow. It takes about 4 or 5 Chinese women to make one Beyonce.
Yeah. It's a lot of women.
4 Chinese butt make one big black butt.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
How about like Madonna?
Not so much.
Not so much?
Yeah.
A little too skinny for
yeah,
you?
Yeah. Oh, no more. No goo.
No goo.
No goo.
No good.
Yeah.
No yeah,
goo.
No good. No good.
Bye.
Yeah.
Have a nice day.
Mm-hmm.
See you later. Maybe 84.
Oh, in 1984. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Lucky Star.
Oh, yum.
Mm-hmm.
Very
mm-hmm.
delicious. But not there. No.
Uh-huh. Man, what
have
about Ariana Huffington or whatever her name
Ariana
was.
Ariana Grande?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ariana Grande. You'll take that?
Yeah, why not? You only need one, you know?
It's mighty gracious of
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I'll take. I mean, sure.
Well, now,
whatever. You know, I can't get a Beyonce. You give me a Grande. Whatever.
Now, let's not toy with her affections. If I give her the green light on Bungalow, she's going to expect.
You know, maybe, if I have a time.
Mm-hmm.
If I have time.
Not,
you know,
so
she'll
not,
probably be 4, 5, 6 person in mm-hmm. line, but, you know.
What about like a Mary J. Blige?
Oh, right there.
Ooh. Oh,
anything,
I see.
Anything, Brat.
That's the sweet spot.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You give me a Brat girl.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
They went black.
Oh.
How about like a
Brat of the Buried, Jesus the Truth.
The black of the berry.
The black of the berry, the juice of the juice.
Sweeter the juice?
Oh, yeah. So good.
How about like an Aretha Franklin?
What you want?
What do you want?
What you want?
What do I want with her?
Baby, I got it.
Oh, I got you. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking. You want some respect?
R-E-S-P-S-P-T. Give it to me.
How's it spelled?
R-E-S-P-S-P-T. Give it to me.
Sweet tea?
Oh, she's full of sweet tea for sure.
Uh-huh. All right. So
if not, I'll give her sweet tea. That's for sure.
Uh-huh. So what about like someone like an Oprah?
Not so much.
Not so much with Oprah?
Not so much.
Not so much with Oprah.
Too aggressive.
Oh, yeah. You gotta wear the pants.
I like to dominate.
You dominate. Yeah.
It's all
your
about
culture,
me.
You dominate.
There you go.
Yeah.
Man first. Woman, very less.
Very less?
Very less. Before dog of the house.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it goes man, dog, man, and then the woman?
Man, son, dog of house, daughter, and then wife.
Oh, then wife. Oh, that's the order. Yeah,
way back.
Oh, way back.
All the way back there.
So it's like if you're doing, you know, if you're with Oprah, you got to be on the cover of that magazine.
That's boring.
Yeah.
No
mm-hmm.
good there.
Mm-hmm.
On her magazine.
Yeah, yeah. So you're no Stedman.
Boring.
Not Stedman.
No, Stedman not a man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Stedman not a man. He should take name man out of Stedman.
Mm.
Just call him Stead. Stead woman.
Stead woman.
Stead yeah. woman.
Yeah. Or maybe instead. Like
discreet.
Instead of a dude,
yeah,
we have instead.
Yeah. Exactly. I really like you.
You like that?
That's
like what I'm saying? We'll call him instead instead of Steadman.
Welcome to my side.
Yeah. So let me get this straight because I got to pitch it to my wife when I get
please.
Home.
I'll tell
it's
her.
It's me mm-hmm. or is it Bungalow? All right. Let's just say me
in
then
your
Bungalow.
House?
Yeah, my
in
house.
In your house, it's me.
Oh.
And then you.
Oh, okay.
And then your kid.
The boy.
And then, yeah, the boy. Always boy.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Should even be in house.
Okay.
And then house dog.
Yeah, Molly.
Yeah. And then housekeeper.
Oh, okay. Olga, yeah.
And she's far, got... far away your wife. Far away. Back
with the daughter.
And your daughter didn't even make the list.
Not didn't make the cut.
In our country, daughter just.
Okay.
Just extra.
All right.
To
I just need you to kind of come, you know, after the show, just come by the house and just kind of.
Oh, I'll take care of all that.
Yeah, maybe you just want to get a chalkboard and draw
no
like a
problem.
Pyramid or something on it, and then put Bungalow up top.
I already have that chalkboard ready for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We take care of that right now.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait. Welcome to family.
Yeah.
Miss Crower.
How's she going to cook from the yard, though, you know?
Let her in every once in a while.
Do some cooking.
Yeah, do cook. Get back out. Get back out there.
So come on in, cook, and then back out
and
to
then
the
leave.
Yard. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. With the daughter, she...
Bye.
Okay.
Have a good time out there backyard with your mom.
All right, but they can come in and clean up. Like
clean,
when
after we done do whatever we do, then mm-hmm. they come in clean, then they go back outside. That's how you do.
Okay.
It's
all
a
right.
good time.
Yeah, okay.
A really good
all
time.
Right.
You're welcome.
No, thank you. Uh-huh. I mean, I just want to work out the pecking
yeah.
order.
It's
going
to be a long explanation to his wife.
Oh, the family
that.
Tree, very, very dominate.
And the
family
wife,
tree, very dominate.
Mm-hmm.
The wife and daughter are usually cool with it?
I don't speak to you.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, write it down. I'll read and then
I'll give
get
it to
you in a second. I'm sorry about that.
I'll tell you later what he says. What he thinks.
Well, speaking of ladies with the kind of ass, like I'm guessing Kim Kardashian might be something.
Oh yeah, that's hilarious. She brack.
She
definitely brack.
I was watching the Grammys. They did the whole performance thing. They gave a standing ovation, but she was not standing. Shouldn't there be...
Was she distracted or was she like protesting?
No, let me just say this. First off, it's her and it's Kanye West. So you know there's a camera and it's front row.
Yes.
So,
yes.
But shouldn't there be a thing that you put up in your house like they do at restaurants, you know, please wash your hands or whatever, that says when you're going to the Oscars or the Grammys,
yeah.
don't be the one sitting and texting while everyone else is standing
exactly.
up. You will look like a fucking royal
yeah.
douche.
I tweeted the same thing last night. Hey, fucking assholes in the $1,000 seats. How about you pretend like you're at a concert or something where you like what's going on?
Yeah.
Don't fucking act like it has somewhere better to be.
Was it her that didn't stand up?
All-star concert going on in front of you.
Right.
Was it only her, or did Kanye stand?
We can look. Kanye is standing. And by the way, it's one of my Taylor Swift arguments. Bungalow, I know Taylor, not for you.
I know.
Not
so
enough ass for you.
I don't make love
yeah.
to stick.
Right. But she shows up at those things. She stands up and
fucking
she parties.
Yeah. I like her 80% more
oh, yeah.
than I do for the music because
Taylor goes
fun.
Ape shit. Taylor acts as if she doesn't, like she's not an A-list. She acts like she's
just happy to be there.
She acts like she's sitting up in the 300
like
section.
A seat filler.
Yeah, she goes fucking crazy.
She,
man.
And like
I
Dave, Dave Grohl's always like rocking out, enjoying themselves.
Even Paul McCartney at his age is
up
into
there.
It.
The only one standing and fine with it.
So here's the you can take a look at it. Go to amcarolla.com. I'll show you a clip of it. There's Kim sitting. There's Kanye looking down at her, and he gives her the like.
Hey, get up.
There's a camera on you. But by the way, if you go back and hold that picture for a second, that entire place is standing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Every human fanny, except for the nicest one, is up on their feet. And it's like John Legend and Kanye are standing next to you. Everyone's up on their fucking feet. And you're just sitting there. And Kanye's giving the, get the fuck up, bitch.
She literally looks like she had no idea what was going on. Yes. People were standing. There was music. What?
It's pretty simple, though. Tune out as much as you want, but when the guy on your right and your left start standing up, you start
get on up.
Standing up as well.
Her dress did rip completely in half at the beginning of the show.
She farted.
That's the only thing to her defense. That's what they
really?
Said. When she walked down the red carpet, the pocket fell off and it ripped up the middle of her dress. So I don't think she can stand.
She had a ripped
dress. She had a Jean-Paul Gaultier dress on that weighed 100 pounds. It weighed 100 pounds, by the way. And the front pocket fell off when she got out of the car.
Mm-hmm.
And then the middle, where her vagina is, it ripped up towards her belly button.
Well, now mystery solved.
But I don't mean to put a damper on Kim, but I think that, and I'm probably going to have to say that's probably the reason. But
there,
if you look closely behind Kanye, there's another asshole sitting down too, so...
But you're shitting on points all over, Joe.
Huh?
You're shitting on points all over. Good for you, buddy.
I'm sorry.
He's a shit.
But I just
want to
get.
Gun.
I'm sorry.
No, if she had a wardrobe malfunction walking down the red carpet, then she has to stay sitting.
But who is Jean-Paul Gaultier to give a $10,000 dress to Kim and the pocket falls out on the way?
Wow.
Yeah, the whole pocket, and then the front part ripped up even more.
Wait,
and
is that the way it's supposed to look right there?
The right pocket fell completely off.
Oh, yeah.
And then the front of her dress ripped in the middle. Like I think you can kind of tell that it doesn't look right.
Well, it's
but then again, the front, I don't know. I don't know. But I'm just trying to play devil's advocate. But
maybe it's one of those things where it's like Jean-Paul, bad news.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift is out. Kim Kardashian in. And he was like, suck it, blue! Like, oh, shit. That's my French guy.
I give the wrong dress to the wrong people.
And like, there's not enough material.
Like, I still to give to the Swift.
Yeah, I mean,
no,
that's an emergency. So she couldn't stand up because her shit split.
Yeah,
okay. But by the way, all we see is her vagina these days, right?
Mm-hmm, that's true.
It's just ass crack and vagina. She's doing like a new photo spread. There's the whole thing with the movie and everything. Yes. Like. She probably doesn't need to be coy about it.
If she walked the red carpet, fuck it, stand up. They're not going to aim the camera at your vagina. They're not trying to.
All right. Well, it's interesting. We'll see if Gary can dig up any vaginal dirt on Kim Kardashian.
Adam, can I ask you this question, though? Mm-hmm. When you have slutty behavior and you do slutty things, and I'm not directing this towards Kimmy K.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying in general, when girls do slutty things, and then all of a sudden they become, not become, but there's a moment where they have to be, I'm a girl. I'm a good girl.
Right.
But we all know you do slutty shit because we saw it on Instagram. Mm-hmm. What is that?
Yeah.
What is that little fine line that you're teeter-tottering? You're either the church-going nice girl or the slut. But why all of a sudden, at this moment, all of a sudden you're like, oh, no, I do this. I'm girly girl.
Well, remember, she's...
I know so many chicks like that, and it fucking annoys me.
In her case, she's a mom now. She's trying to change her image,
but
and she's
hoping people will I'm going to interrupt you right now, because she just put up a whole ass crack shot in France.
She looks like she's standing in a trash bag.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm going to argue with you, because... You just said that because she's a mom now, she's different. But just 2 months ago, she showed her ass on the cover of every magazine in France.
Right.
And then there was that episode on the Kardashians where she cried because the issue of George published her being completely naked but covered in paint. Mm-hmm. And she was depressed about it. And she cried and she couldn't believe that they would put that out. And those were more tasteful than her Playboy pictures.
Yeah, but I think
so. What's that?
I think to your point, she keeps deciding on a whim if she wants to be a good girl, bad girl, good girl, bad girl. And
but there's
just
a lot
pissed.
Of girls like that. And it fucking annoys me.
Sure.
It's fucking annoying.
You know,
if you're going to be a slut, be a slut.
I agree. The whole thing is everything on their terms. So they can be a slut, but if you call them a slut,
they go apeshit.
They go apeshit.
Yeah.
Right. Which is usually when things strike a little too close to home, that's what they do. But she, and it's all part of a new thing where everybody gets to be everything all the time, and
yeah.
you can't judge, and you can't point a finger,
yeah.
and you can be the world's best everything. She's raising that kid with her ass and vagina. It's fine. She's
yeah.
doing a wonderful job. She doesn't want you seeing her. You know, they don't want the kid in the spotlight. Then the kid's in the video. It's just it's called. There used to be. There's a lot of hypocrisy
You're
now.
Talking about both sides of the mouth.
Yeah, that
oh.
didn't really exist.
Oh, yeah,
before.
See, that's where the rip.
Yeah,
but like, okay,
now
what,
I'm looking
so
for
you
an article.
You couldn't
Gary.
Stand Adam because what?
I don't
because that little rip. And oh my God, I don't want this to be shown. We've all seen it, Kim.
I don't know.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Oh, my God, I can't stand because it ripped a little and it might show and everyone's going to see it and I'm a lady.
Somebody's got a related question, which is get
sorry
Gary, get it
so
off
loud.
The thing. Ricky, 30.
Hey, what's going on, H-Man?
Yeah, the reason, Gary, I was asking for the stories because I can't really tell by looking at the gown whether it's a wardrobe malfunction. Everything is cut so low and cut up so high. I can't really tell by looking at the picture, and people at home can't really tell by looking at the picture. But anyway, Ricky, sorry.
This has been a fascinating episode.
Thank you.
I've been listening.
Thank you.
The whole time. But on a related topic, I was in my refractory period the other day,
mm-hmm.
and when I was looking, obviously, on one of the porn sites, I'm just astounded by the fact that. What do you think of the fact that people are going on there and rating the free porn videos, number one, and then the guys that are rating them poorly?
I got into this probably on this show and Kevin and Bean as well. My plan for my next Spike project is to go find the super hot 19-year-old with the D-cups who's taking it in the keister, go online, find the 49 thumbs down, and go track those motherfuckers
yeah.
down and just beat the shit
beat
out
the
of them.
Beat the living shit out
I'll
of them.
I'll take Rampage Jackson with me.
Oh, yeah.
I'll just be knock, knock, knock on the door. Guy answers in
Hello?
Sweatpants with
yeah.
his laptop under his arm.
Yeah.
And I just go, is this you? Is this you? And if we find out as we
well,
beat
you,
the shit,
actually,
first off, we take his computer and we just light it on fire.
If I could start it over, Adam.
We go Jimi Hendrix, like with his guitar on the with the computer. It's like, you got to earn this shit, bitch.
Yeah.
You have lost your privileges on this fucking computing
yeah.
device. You understand? I would lay
yeah.
on my back. I would wait for clouds to take the shape of a booby
yeah.
when I was your fucking age.
Exactly.
And now you're giving thumbs down to the 19-year-old chick from the former Soviet bloc,
yeah.
fucking taking it in the keister
yeah.
with the double D's.
Yes.
You sicken me. You sick. And then Rampage just drove me looking all
just
fucking pissed.
Just beats the shit out of
just
him.
Just
shirts
to go.
Off.
Ground
big chain.
Yeah.
Big chain around his neck. Just all fucking pissed off.
Yeah.
And we take his laptop, and we just fucking drive it through a spike. We kill it like it's Dracula.
Yeah. yeah.
That's
he deserves it.
Of course.
Fuck
how dare
him.
You?
And this all happens in front of his mom, the owner of the house.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We see what's happening to her son.
And by the way,
your fucking son just gave a thumbs down
this
to this.
Shit, this shit was
them
free.
Yeah.
The shit was fucking
on top
free.
Of all that. Imagine it was terrible. You didn't pay anything. You get your money back.
Yes.
Money back guarantee.
And by the way, I know you spilled some jizz. I'm putting it back in your cup.
Yeah.
Rampage.
Grab the catheter.
No, no.
No, no.
Rip his dick open.
Put it in your mouth.
Yep.
And blow it back into his ass. And I don't mean his ass.
Now, is Rampage already officially attached? Does he know about this?
I won't. I'll just
negotiating.
I'll call
details
him the enforcer. I won't get
okay.
in all the details okay. about him blowing semen back into this guy's cock. But
that's
it's gonna
a fine
be,
print.
But I'm going to be like the fucking waiter when you're returning the entree and you've eaten the entire thing.
Yeah.
Like, how fucking dry was the steak, sir?
Yeah.
There's nothing left of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You beat off to this, son. Then gave the thumbs down in
Who
your fucking
fuck
refractory
are
period.
You?
You're sicking me.
Give it a lot to think about.
Mm-hmm.
That's That's fucking awesome, Ace Man. I'm not following that. Thanks, brother.
Thank you, man. All right.
Some dignity.
Nothing we can, nothing else we can do about it, except for talk about, what? Sherry's Berries, man. Oh, love these guys. What are we talking about? Valentine's Day coming up? You need yourself some beautiful, delectable, giant, juicy strawberries dipped in the white chocolate, the milk chocolate, the dark chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Peng Lu, you love these guys,
like
man.
All of them. Dip it all.
Dip it all. $19.99 or double the berries for just $10 more.
Oh, my God, what a deal.
These things are as big as, like, the village you grew up in.
Oh, God, that's a lot.
That's
1.6 million.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm just talking about the village.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The village.
Mm-hmm. Only way to get this amazing Valentine's deal is visit berries.com. Click the microphone, top right hand corner, type in ACE. That is berries.com. Click on the microphone, enter the code ACE.
What a bargain.
All right. Let's see. A couple of phone calls. Rain Wilson is coming soon.
You know, I spent a ton of money on that Super Bowl, right?
You did.
That's
17
right.
grand.
Oh, my
That's
God.
Right.
I'm so glad you brought
it. And I know you've talked about this 1,000 times, but I'm on the Seahawks side.
I'm so happy. Joe,
$17,000 I spent for my son and I, and that's not even including the tickets that we flew out
okay.
there.
Okay, now hold on a second, because I had this thought at Jimmy Kimmel's watching the game on Sunday. My first thought I had was, last time I spoke to Joe Coy, he said he bought $4,000 tickets on StubHub.
To the NFC Championship.
Oh, that was to the championship.
Yeah, I went to the Green Bay game, was a little over $4,000.
How much was the Super Bowl?
$17,000.
$17,000 was the cost
after
of
taxes and all that. It was about $17,000.
All right, not including airfare,
and that was through NFL ticket exchange.
Or not no airfare and no accommodations.
No airfare, no accommodations. So that was strictly just the
let's
tickets.
Just call it a $20,000 weekend.
That's how much I about spent. Yeah.
All right. At a certain point, when midway through the second quarter, when the Seahawks were just flat. I remember just kind of thinking, oh, boy, poor Joe sitting up there doing nothing. And then at a certain point when they came back, I thought, oh, Joe.
Yeah.
And then the end.
What do you – okay.
All right, first
now,
off,
I know you're not a conspiracy theorist.
Paint a picture.
All right. Well, I'm hugging
of
a
you. Paint a picture of you in Seahawks Nation.
Yeah. Okay. With the 30 seconds left?
Please.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
We're all hugging and kissing each other.
I love it.
After the crazy catch.
We're literally hugging and kissing each
Where
other.
Where are you sitting?
We cannot believe I'm about 20 yards from the 30-yard line.
Okay.
Prime on that seat. Side of the field?
On that side.
Okay.
Touchdown side, where it all happened.
Now, is the place
fucking rocking right
they
now?
They said, I you know, and by the way, Al Michaels.
It was about 75% Seahawks fans.
Al Michaels is coming in here tomorrow, so we can get the lowdown from him. But I believe when I was watching it, they said it was about 80% Seahawks fans.
Oh, it was.
And I don't know if that's just...
No, that's true.
No, I believe that, but it's a Southwest flight away, or is it just they don't travel, or I don't know what the deal is, but it's 80...
When we were going through security, it was literally the ratio was probably 10 to 1 for every Seahawks jersey you saw.
Do you think, I mean, and I
you know who was there? I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yes.
A lot of Green Bay fans. I think a lot of Green Bay people were buying their tickets for the Super Bowl with the last 3 minutes with the last 3 minutes of that NFC game.
Interesting.
I think they bought a lot of those tickets. So I saw a lot
of
Green Bay
fans.
Yeah.
So
I'm not joking.
I guess we surmise that the Seahawks fans are a little more affluent, maybe.
I think it's a combination of that and proximity. But yeah,
both.
That's
yeah.
about right.
All
right.
So,
Adam, I'm not a conspiracist.
All right. So there you are. I just want to paint it right before the big catch. So there you are sea of Seahawks people.
I'm hugging the guy. My son is next to me with his mouth wide open because he can't believe what's happening. The catch before that was fucking amazing.
Right.
And then we're going apeshit.
Right.
I mean, literally, and Belichick's not calling timeout. So it was almost like he threw in the towel. Like, he was like, okay, we lost. We had two timeouts left, and everyone's screaming Lynch. Everyone's like, beast mode, because we knew for a fact he's going to run the shit in.
It's on the one, and I said, the 1 yard line, it almost seemed like they took it from the 19 inch line and put it at the 1 yard line. It looked like that run, I mean, from where you guys were sitting, the run before it, you thought maybe scored, right?
Yeah. This was crazy. And then we're all hugging each other. And I go, I cannot believe this is happening again. I like a miracle is happening again. And, mm-hmm. And then he threw the fucking ball. And it literally like Larry Flint's dick when he just deflates. It was that. Yeah. Right. And I mean, complete, like, we all were just standing there like, what the fuck?
Were you in disbelief for a while before you actually?
Yeah, I couldn't believe he threw it.
Yeah.
Right, so.
We couldn't believe he fucking threw it, first of all.
Once Belichick doesn't stop, I mean, and by the way, I said the same thing about the Green Bay game. I'll say the same thing about the Super Bowl. When the DB picks a ball off and does a hook slide, mm-hmm. that's like the quarterback taking a knee.
Yeah.
That's game over. So when Green Bay picked the ball off against Seattle and the guy did hooks, I know Peppers told him to get down, but when he gets down, that's game over.
Yeah.
That's a signal that the game is over. The fact that you guys won that game is insane.
Yeah.
When everyone is saying, well, Belichick should probably let him score here, that's another game over sign. Yeah. That is a crazy, this thing is, You're under 10% of winning this game when they're going, let him score. Just let him score. Maybe you guys can get 45, 50 seconds on the clock to see what you can do with. Mm-hmm. So that's totally insane.
Yeah.
Now, I have a theory. You have a theory.
I have a conspiracy theory.
I have an NFL conspiracy theory. Okay.
Marshawn is the most hated guy in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This guy is about to run the ball in and probably be the player of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the guy that's going to be picked to say, I'm going to Disneyland, which mm-hmm. he won't say.
Right.
And I don't think the powers that be wanted that to represent. I'm just saying.
No, they didn't.
I'm
agree.
I'm just saying.
They did not want that.
They don't want that to be the poster child of those $2 billion corporations.
Why don't you stop talking for a while?
Oh, come on,
no,
man.
No, I agree.
Come on. I'm a Seahawks fan, and I'm trying to reach for shit.
I got a branch for you.
I will say this. Mm. Out of all the fucking plays they could have called, you could have, first of all, it should have went to beast mode, hands down. And you know
mm-hmm.
that, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And, or two, you let Russell run the shit into himself. But the last play and the last option was to throw that ball in the middle. That is the absolute last play.
Well, you have one of the most mobile quarterbacks in the league.
That's what he does.
Yes.
And their play throughout the year mm-hmm. is that fake. It's the fake handoff to Marshawn, and it works every fucking time.
All right.
And they didn't even do that.
You mean, and then Russell runs it
and
in?
And Russell runs. He always right. And it works every fucking time.
All right, let me explain my conspiracy theory.
Oh, by the way, and he lost no yardages, no yards. That whole game, it was for a game.
Right, no negative yards.
No negative yards. He was on fire that day.
All positive. Right.
Yes.
Like 104 yards or something like
that. Oh, but especially when they needed him. He was fucking amazing.
Okay, here's my theory.
Okay.
You ready?
Let's hear it, man.
All right. West Coast offense, Pete Carroll. West Coast fucks everything up.
Hmm.
We fuck up everything we touch, we fuck up. Mm-hmm. All the stuff out of the hipster area, mm-hmm. it fucks it up. We outsmart ourselves. We fucked up iced tea. We fuck up coleslaw. Put golden raisins and shit in it. We just fuck everything we touch, we fuck up because we out hip.
Yeah,
we outthink and we out hip.
Yeah.
All right. Now, Pete Carroll could have done what my 8-year-old son and whatever drunken Seattle fan and every football fan and every New England fan
and every retired football player
and every human being on the planet knew that he should have done. He could have made the call to hand it off to the guy who had no negative yards, is always good for at least a yard. He had three cracks at it and won the game. He could have done that.
And two timeouts, Adam.
All right. But anyone could have done
that. That's right. What does the smart coach do?
Pete Carroll's a genius. Pete Carroll's going to call a pick play, mm-hmm. and if that shit would have worked, you guys would all gone insane, because I could hear Al Michaels and Collinsworth going, every single person in this building thought they were handing the ball off, and the 200 million people watching home thought they were going to hand off the ball to Marshawn Lynch, and instead they ran. Genius! This is genius. Belichick, when nobody saw this coming. And I think he out-coached himself because my 8-year-old could have called the three handoffs to Marshawn. He wouldn't have called that pick play. I think he wanted to go down as, you see, here's what Tom Landry would have just handed the ball off. Chuck Knoll would have just handed the ball off.
Everyone would have handed the ball off, man.
Right. But Pete Carroll, he's a thinking man's coach. West Coast, man.
Well, let me say this. As a USC fan, when Pete Carroll was there, this is eerily reminiscent of that big game against Texas they lost in the Rose Bowl. When they had a 4th-and-2 to win the game, would have put the game on ice, would have won the game. 4th-and-2, you got your fucking Heisman Trophy winner, Reggie Bush, one of the best players ever to play college football, on the sidelines, and you have Lendale White run the 4th-and-2. A good player, but why are you not putting the ball in the best player's hands? Everyone expects it to happen. Not Pete Carroll. He's a genius. Give it to Lendale White. They'll never see it come.
You're with me, Bald,
I'm totally,
on this theory.
That's the first thought that I had. Was like, this is like not giving Reggie Bush the ball in 4th-and-2.
So do you think he will be fired, and do you think he should?
No. He won't be fired. But the announcers in the booth would have said everyone in the stadium thought you were going to hand it off, and Pete Carroll did a pick play, and that's why he's a genius. Mm-hmm. And that's what would have happened, that's what I'm thinking.
Adam, can I ask you this?
Yes.
Is it Pete Carroll that calls that, or is it his coordinator?
It's him.
It is him on that play. It's him.
He blamed it.
He blamed it on himself, but...
He did say the coordinator, but he did also say that he obviously has veto power over everything. All right, rain is here, so you're going to have to rain in your tears that are falling like rain.
So sorry, Joy.
It's all right. You say my name right? Just
Joy.
Me. God damn it.
Joy?
You know people, when I go do radio,
mm-hmm.
the DJs are saying it now?
Joy.
You think that's funny,
well,
don't you?
Well, your name was...
It's kind of power we have.
Yeah, Joe Coy should be Joy.
No, it shouldn't be Joy.
All right, I'm going to bring some joy into your life with Simply Safe. I have this at my house. You're looking for home security? It can be a pain. Get some Simply Safe. Simply Safe, no hidden fees, no old contracts, no nothing. Low price, easy to get. No wires, no muss, no fuss. SimplySafe.com/Adam. So Rain Wilson's here. So what was... Describe the visceral feeling of that crowd. I mean, you're on the 1-yard line.
Yeah. I wanted to die.
What was it like?
I really wanted to die. You know where you just stand there for
what
another
was your
10
son
minutes
like?
Going, did that just happen?
What was your son like?
Laughing.
In retrospect, for your son.
Yeah. My son is a Broncos fan. But okay, he was cheering for my team.
That's... When he's 30,
yeah,
and deep in therapy, that's going to make a great story.
Yeah, it is.
He's going to be, I was there, yep, sitting in a sea of green jerseys, yep, when that guy picked it off. Yes?
My dad had spent an obscene amount of money.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's not going to college, I'll tell you that much.
All right. Joe Coy, everybody. Website, jokoy.com.
Instagram.
And Joe Show.
Same thing.
Yes.
Can I please plug
Treasure Island. Treasure Island.
March 20th.
March 20th. Love you. Rain Wilson right after this.
Hey, everybody. Superfan Giovanni here with an all-new installment of Good Sports with Adam Carolla and Dave Damashek, courtesy of Podcast One Sports.
Jason Shecky, let's do it. Good Sports.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of Good Sports presented by Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla over there. Ace, we're on a roll. People, you know, the skeptics out there said, you guys don't talk enough sports. We've done nothing but talk about sports for the last couple of weeks almost, or not sports in general, about football. And then tangentially, we get into some auto racing and so on.
Hey, can I say this?
You can.
A single of these guys are player haters. Right? But they say play a hater, but they should be play a hater.
It's inconsistent.
Because
right,
there's an in player, or it should be player hater.
Mm-hmm.
But it shouldn't be play a haters.
You know what? I like what you're doing there. Taste that play a haters, because Ace Carolla just took you down, took the play a haters down.
Mm-hmm.
Taste that medicine. Mm-hmm. Doesn't taste so good. Does it hate us or haters? Either one.
Yeah. Well, either be a play a hater.
I got it.
Yeah. You know who else agrees with me on that?
Who's that?
50 Cent.
You're so
not,
hip.
Not 50. You guys
know,
say
no,
50.
I
say 50.
Gary does. I know
50.
How to do it. I'm hip.
It's not 50.
No.
It's 50.
Fitty.
Right.
Right.
Cent. Mm-hmm.
There's another word, too.
Mm.
That, wow, I'm not going to get into that one.
Don't be a player hater.
No way. Not going to get into any of that stuff. I have some more football stuff that we could talk about, but a late request here coming in from our own Porcelain Punisher, Matt Fondelier, asks Ace that you win, play, show this. I know we have done this before, but it's always good time to talk about food. Win, play, show. Pancakes, waffles, French toast, go.
Trying to break this one down. Now, pancakes are great. I'll tell you, pancakes are great when they're a little bit thinner, and I know this sounds bizarre, but have a little rubbery texture to them. Like you have to pull on them a little bit. They don't just fall apart, and they're not all cakey and fluffy, just a little thinner. There's nothing better than buttering up pancakes when you have the lumberjack stack, and you know if you slide the pat of butter in between the two, God will do the rest. You know what I mean? You don't have to move it around or spread it around. Waffles are excellent, but taking butter to it is like someone going, why don't you butter up that snow tire? Like, that's going to take all day. Like, I can't.
I know what you mean.
There's no way.
That.
I cannot think of a surface less hospitable to receiving an even coat of butter than a waffle.
Hold on. Okay, go ahead.
It's kind of a weird thing that we go like, hey, what's better for breakfast than waffles with butter and syrup in it? And you go, nothing. What's physically impossible to spread butter on? Waffles. Ah, hold the phone. Waffles should have a smooth side to accept butter.
Wait a minute.
You know what I would do? I'd flip it over. I would butter it up on one side, then I'd flip it back and syrup it up. All the pockets, all the divots for the syrup. Because, look, there's nothing better than when you take a bite of the waffle that got the butter stuck in it. And you got that huge pocket of butter, and right next to it's a pocket of, but understand that ain't all the pockets. There'll be something else on the other side of the waffle that did not receive butter in an even-handed fashion. French toast is a little weird to me. It's good. I don't have it as great. I've never had it as great. I don't think
I've ever ordered it for what that's worth. I never given a full complement of options on my breakfast menu when I'm out and about. I never go French toast.
It sounds good. It sounds good. I have it as a show on this one. It's a bronze. It's bronze, and it's an easy bronze. I don't now. The conundrum is the waffle.
Before you go, may I weigh in here with your hokum? Once again,
butter?
As I've said,
I've never been righter about something in my life.
Not unlike people who choose to eat a green apple in a world that has ripe red apples available for your consumption. Why would anyone choose to get the flat pancake that's incapable? It's not its fault. It just wasn't made that way. It wasn't born that way. It doesn't hold any syrup. You put the syrup on your beloved rubbery pancake, and the syrup just runs off the side, doesn't want anything to do with it. The waffle has, for your convenience, Ace, and you turn your nose up at it, or you don't think you're good enough for it, it's given you an array of syrup, mini syrup cups all over the food. The food has holders for the accompanying sauce that you're putting on top of it. Why? Who wouldn't want a waffle? Why would you take a pancake when you could have the waffle? That's the way a king eats.
If I traveled with a waffle valet,
yeah,
and I could instruct him to prep the waffle.
I see.
And then call me 20 minutes later when the butter was evenly distributed and the syrup had hit every pocket. Then yes, that would be the direction I would go. But I do not travel with a waffle valet.
You should, though, maybe.
I probably arrived. I should probably look into that.
That's classy, man.
I got a money saver.
Kimmel would be so impressed by that. Who's this guy? There's my waffle valet.
Yeah. But it's 9 at night. Oh, I didn't know.
Do you want a waffle, Jimmy? Well,
the worst thing that can happen is that you find out that someone busts out the waffle iron and you did not bring your waffle valet.
How many times have you heard that?
What I'll do is I You know how I save myself a ton of money by combining the guy who walks my dog, the dog walker, with the guy who breaks in my Italian loafers? I used to use two guys, right? But now I went, screw it.
Perfect.
He's walking anyway. I'm sharp. Paying him. Put the loafers on. Well, that guy's just hanging out in between walks and breaking in loafers. How about he becomes the waffle valet? Sure, there's going to be some training and some acclimation, and there's a learning curve and whatnot, but that guy could be my waffle valet. Now,
by the way, there's also drawn butter, and we've talked about that before. Lobster gets so much credit. It is the most overrated item of food under the sun because, oh, hey, lobster, oh, I'll pay whatever. It's a high, oh, it's a 2-pounder. Oh, it's a throw. Well, yeah, guess what? You're dipping it into drawn butter. Take a pretzel and dip that in the drawn butter, and it's going to taste good, too.
Mm.
Get the drawn butter. Do that. That's going to fill those cups up real nice for you there, Ace.
I'm trying to think. I don't feel like that's an IHOP option.
No,
I will say, I do love the waffles. I like my idea of waffle with a smooth side.
Mm-hmm.
The butter distribution is a little bit of a deal breaker. I'm not getting into the waffle and chicken, the savory and the waffle, though I like that idea. I'm going to go pancake, waffle, then there's going to be a beet. French toast.
I'm with you. Well, only on number three. You're wrong about the waffle v. pancake. But what I will say is, now you walk me into this one. Have you ever taken a nice sausage link at the restaurant and put it into the pancake, then rolled it over and had a pancake taco? Try it, please. Do me a favor, Adam. Please. Also, if they have some hash browns with it, put those in there as well. Now you've stamped the ticket to Cloud 9 and thank me when you return to planet Earth.
I got to tell you, I literally had Matt online today looking for sausage patties.
Really?
I forgot about that
weirdo take as well.
I love sausage
you
patties.
You don't want the snap of the link?
I like it, but I like the way the sausage patty absorbs the syrup when you do that move. See, here's what you're missing with pancakes. Yes, the syrup rolls on. The butter goes on silky smooth.
I get that
like
part. That's
gesso
true.
On a canvas. But that's the white stuff you paint on a canvas before you make your painting. Anyway, like gesso on a canvas, it goes on. But you're right. The syrup does roll off. But that leads to the greatest activity in the world, which is cutting some pancakes with the side of the fork and then working the moat around the perimeter of the pancakes and the edge of the plate and working the syrup moat that way. That's a lovely activity.
I'm a man of the people, Ace, but when it comes to my I don't even know what you call it. What is that made out of? The battery give me the one that's preformed like a
Eggo?
Prince
my
whatever. What's pancake batter called? Just pancake.
Nestquick. No,
whatever
what's it called?
Yeah, the way the kings Bisquick. Have it, it's delivered. It's formed for you. It's in a shape. It's nice. It's fancy.
Yeah.
Not just some circle that somebody poured into a pan for you. It's not going to hold your syrup for you.
I do like the process.
I didn't show up to do work. I want a nice breakfast is all I want.
I like the waffle. I like the process. I like when the guy lifts the lid on the pot and some of it sticks to the top a little and then it falls down. Shaq, I know we may disagree on waffles versus pancakes, but we can all agree on this. In the pantheon of people who get tipped way too much, like the cute chick working at the trendy restaurant who's the bartender who's just walking out of there with $800 cash every night for doing nothing and a GED. And the person who never gets tipped at the bottom of the tip barrel is the dude who's working the buffet and he's working the omelet.
Yeah.
And he's got people coming in there all day long and they're like, I said egg beaters and no, you did jack. I said ricotta cheese, light scallion. He's got these yentas in his ear all day. He's got three omelets going simultaneously. He's fat guy sweating his ass off. That guy makes you an omelet, slides it on your plate, and you just turn around and walk away.
You're right. Why doesn't that guy put a tip jar out? He's always got a sunny disposition too, as opposed to that guy's the angel. angel. The devil at the buffet line is the guy at the end of it who is wearing the literal high hat. And he's giving you, he's slicing the prime rib for you. And sometimes he has a turkey on the side too. And he's slicing the thing. And he never gives you enough slices. He gives you one, maybe two, like a half a piece. And you say, can I get a little bit more there so I don't have to come back up? And he literally gives you that, the same thing as when you're on a flight. Like, hey, do you mind if I can sit together with my friend here? Do you mind moving a seat back? And he gives you that same, that's what the hi-hat, carver of the
carving prime rib. Station.
Who's this guy? What's it to you? You bought it. Did you pay for that beef? I just ask a little more prime rib. Give me one more slice there, fella. Such a put out for that guy. He deserved nothing.
I admire your passion.
Thank you.
MedMen. Today's cannabis consumers are everywhere and everyone. Let's drop the labels, people. Teachers, executives, parents. At MedMen, you're a customer. That's what they call you. There's something for everyone, whether you're new to the cannabis or familiar with it. They got lotions and edibles and vape pens and bath bombs and more. Touch screens allow you to view in-depth product info. And they got their staff members in red shirts so you can spot them easily. And they're incredibly knowledgeable. And they'll put you at ease and they'll tell you what you want. You tell them what you're doing. Ask them a few questions. Kick some tires. They'll feed you right back. Check out their 14 retail locations in L.A., Orange County, San Diego, or you can go online and visit them, MedMen.com. Find the store that's nearest you. These things look like state-of-the-art Mac stores. MedMen.com, right, Gary?
Right. For our listeners, visit any MedMen and mention Adam Carolla at checkout for $10 off your order. Check out MedMen today.
All right. But by the way, I mean, really, wonder why they have a special high hat, because no other chef wears that high hat except the guy at the carving thing.
The only guy really needs that high hat is handling food is the guy who's working the griddle at the Benihana, because if you don't flip that shrimp tail, if you do that into like a bowler or Stetson or something, you need the high hat. You're going to flip that shrimp tail.
I stand corrected.
You need the high hat.
He
does need it. The Benihana guy.
That's why I need Adam Carolla. Right. And you'll hear some Adam Carolla tomorrow on the Adam Carolla Show, including on Good Sports. We'll have that for you tomorrow on Podcast One. For now, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damaschek out. Good Sports.